Hi, good morning. It is, as always, a pleasure to be here with you. Unfortunately, due to a communications error, there's no bullet points on the screen for you, which means that if my voice is one which sends you off, you haven't even got a visual distraction other than my mannerisms. The communication problem primarily being between my iPad and your projector. It's short of a magic lead. It's not really magic, but it does the trick of magic, doesn't it? I want us to consider this morning, if we can, something from the first two verses of what we read together when we read Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. That's from the English Standard Version. I do hope I haven't caused offence by reading from that, but it's often useful to have a different version, a different translation that makes us stop and think. One of the great dangers in the Christian life, and in fact in any walk of life, is that we become overly familiar, is it not? And I find it quite amusing. We've just introduced at Calvary the new Christian hymns, as some still call it, although quite interestingly it's been the only Christian hymns available for sale for quite some time. And some of the older hymns have been reworked, and it's quite amusing from the front watching people with their eyes closed and their hymn book closed, and they're giving it loads, and then they realise they're singing something different to everybody else. Were they singing with the full meaning of the words, or were they just mindlessly singing something that they'd learned? There is a difference. I'm not denigrating the old words, but at times it's useful to stop and to think, to compare and to consider. And that's why useful, different translations can be useful, that we look at them. And if you're a great fan, as many of you will be, I'm sure, of the King James Version, the old authorized version, if you read it alongside a different version, you can think to yourself, wow, I never thought of it that way before. And the same with the New King James, compared it with something else, and it's often useful. And those of you who have abilities in more than one language, exercise your brain. If you can read French, then read French alongside your English. If you can do Spanish, German, even colonial, then read the New American Standard Version. It is different, isn't it? Who are you? Is the title for this morning. It's a question we get asked. I get asked quite often by people. No doubt you've asked other people, who are you? The actor Peter Sellers used to adopt so many personas and so many different identities that it's very famously recounted that on one occasion he was stopped in the street and a member of the public said to him, "Excuse me, but aren't you Peter Sellers?" And his reply was, "Not today." Who are you? David Bowie, the rock singer, he created a persona, an identity that was globally famous called Ziggy Stardust. Ziggy played guitar. Ziggy took over. There's a documentary of David Bowie on tour across the States, and he turns to the camera, and in a very candid moment he actually says, "I feel I am losing David Bowie, and I am becoming permanently Ziggy Stardust. I have to kill him off." And that was the tour when indeed he did kill Ziggy Stardust, to the tears and the distress of many, many fans. Who are you? You might be asked at work. Perhaps you work in an environment where you have to explain who you are immediately. I had a great privilege during the week of spending some time as a VIP You might be wondering what I'm talking about. I felt like I was a VIP. From the very moment I walked through the door of A&E, I was treated with the utmost respect and courtesy, and everybody that came to see me explained, I am, and they told me who they were, what their job was, what their role was, and what their interaction with me was. I never once had to say, who are you? But they all asked me, who are you? That's because we all are different people. The world views us in different ways. We're brought up in the world. We soak up the world. We're bombarded by the world. And we can adopt, subconsciously or even very, very consciously, we can adopt ideals and perspectives that come from the wrong perspective. We can begin to think that we are who we are because of our remuneration, because of our pay, because of what we earn. What a load of twaddle that can be. Let me ask you, who perhaps is the more important? Is it the nurse who unstintingly gives of her time, who works the extra hour to make sure that the patient is all right, who isn't very happy with her rate of pay, but hey, it covers the bills. It might not pay for a fortnight in the Dominican Republic 3 or 4 times a year, but it pays the bills, it covers expenses, it provides for a reasonable standard of living, thank you very much. But who is the more important, that nurse or perhaps the food critic who writes for a Sunday paper and appears on television and is able to afford tailor-made suits that cost £1,000 and more for a basic one from Jeeves and Hawks, which is a step above John Lewis, or two. Who's the more important? Well, if you go by salary, if you go by remuneration, if you go by the standards that the world imposes, then you'd have to say, well, surely the food critic is more important. And we can begin to think that we are who we are because of what we earn, because of what we're paid, because of what the world puts us in various bands for. Remuneration is a terrible way to assess ourselves, but it's one of the ways the world uses to assess who we are. Another is relationships. And we've all soaked this one up. I was talking with a woman some years ago. She'd raised a number of children. She'd stopped work when the first child came along. Well, before the first child came along. Raised the children. Got them to the point whereby they could be safely left with others for a few hours and went back to work. Nothing grand, nothing spectacular, working in a retail store. Doing nothing more than smiling at people, taking the goods, scanning them, telling them how much, receiving the money, wrapping the goods and giving them an exchange for the payment. A humble role. And chatting with her, I said, what's it like? It's great, she said. It's absolutely fantastic. Really? Yeah. Because I'm me. I'm accepted at work for me. I'm not considered as somebody's wife, even though I am. I'm not thought of as somebody's mother, even though I am. I'm me. Quite interestingly, you have Alan. You're having a peel overload, are you not, this month? We shall be in much prayer for you. He actually had t-shirts made because, bless him, everywhere he went, he would meet people who knew of me, who met me, who would talk with me. And he would introduce himself and they would say to him, oh, you must be Ray Peel's son. So he's had some t-shirts made and he wears one and I wear the other on a regular occasion. And his t-shirt says, I am Ray Peel's son, and mine says, I am Alan Peel's father. Relationships. I'm a mother. Or perhaps not. I'm a wife. A husband. Or perhaps not. Who are you? How do you see yourself? Is it as it the world sees, by your pay scale, your paycheck, or by relationships? Or is it perhaps by the role that you take in society? I have one or two things that I rant about. Some of those who know me would say, only one or two. I think you'd start again with your counting. But one of the things that I rant about is when you see people on the television, and normally the military are good at this. The military are very good at this. And if any of you are in the military or are ex-military, then do please excuse me. But my rant is this. They will introduce themselves and they will say, my name is, which is fine, because we all have a name of some sort or other. My name is, and then they will say something like Sergeant John Smith, or Major Philip Jones, or Lieutenant Colonel Angela Brown. And I will start ranting, no, 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 that is not your name. It is your rank, it is your role, it is your position. It is something that can be taken from you or can be altered. When you cease to hold the Queen's Commission, when you cease to be employed, when you have been done for something and you've been stripped, then you become a plain John Smith and the sergeant is lost. But it's how the world sees. Professor. They must be clever. I was chatting with a professor the other week and was telling me the way it works, and it surprised me, actually, said, and in fact many young people enter to become professors, and many of them focus on becoming professors, and that is their ideal rather than teaching their students. The role. Titles after a name. So many letters you could write a dictionary if you joined them all together. Role. Who are you? I have a title. I have relationships. I get paid. Who am I? But you know, the way the world looks at things has potential pitfalls, does it not? And we are prey to those potential pitfalls. If you're viewing your status, your position, your role, your relationships, your paycheck as your means of identification, of asserting to yourself and to others as to who you are, then there is always the possibility of a sense of inadequacy. I like to browse the internet. Those of you that still think the internet is the tool of the devil, then let me assure you that yes, there are parts on there which are bad, but there's much on there that can teach us, and there's much on there full of the gospel of the glory of God, praise his name. You'll see things. A link will lead to a link, will lead to a link, will lead to a link. You've all done that, I'm sure. It's the internet-y version and equivalent of surfing on a television where you sat there in charge of the remote control and nobody else is going to get a look in because you're in charge for the next half hour. Not long enough to sit and focus on any particular programs. You're going to jump from one to the other, to the other, to the other, then 30 seconds of something and then move on because it wasn't what you thought. I ended up on someone's description on a Lonely Hearts page. A middle-aged person, never married, no children, no entanglements, no complications. What a dreadful term for children. Not perhaps the best catch, but certainly a good catch is how they describe themselves. Oh dear, for somebody they are the best catch. Could be. I only earn so much. They earn far more than me. Are they better than me? More appreciated than me? better valued than me? There was a discussion yesterday at a work party on rates of pay and remuneration. And one of the people was asked, how much do you earn? Turns out for a day's work they get in the region of £300. Some of you might think, wouldn't get out of bed for that. Some of you might think, £300? I don't get that in a week, in a fortnight, in a month. Oh, said the person asking, we employ consultants to come in and they're professional people like you are, but they charge £700 a day. Really? Does that mean one is better valued than the other? We can feel inadequate when we start to look at things like our pay scale, what we get at the end of the month, the relationships that we have. How come that person has found themselves a wife and I haven't? That refrain of the very famous song by Queen, can anybody find me somebody to love, can become a burden on the heart. We can feel inadequate. We can feel frustrated. Especially if perhaps it's our role, our title, our letters, which are the criteria. Why am I still a sergeant and not a sergeant major? Why am I still a registrar and not a consultant? Why am I still just a reader and not a professor? By the way, the church isn't immune to any of these feelings. We were in a congregation many years ago and they believed in a hierarchical system. There were the elders, then there were the deacons. And you couldn't be an elder until you'd been a deacon. And becoming an elder was viewed as promotion from being a deacon to an elder. They had failed to recognise and realise that there's a clear delineation between the two roles. That one is of a more spiritual emphasis and direction, while the other is of a more practical dimension, but still spiritually minded and obligated. And the two work together, hand in glove, and they complement like a husband is not, believe it or not, gentlemen, better than the wife. And ladies, despite the push of feminism, women are not better than men. We are made, designed, created to complement each other, to work alongside each other. But when that atmosphere from the world creeps into our lives and creeps into our church, we can begin to feel frustrated. Why am I still a deacon? Why have I not yet been recognized to be an elder? Why have I not been recognized to be a deacon in the first place? It creeps in. We feel inadequate. We feel frustrated. It can lead even to the darkness of depression. How many of you know people who have been on the verge of deep depression or even entering a form of depression because they are a single person, because they are not a mother or a father, because they have not been promoted? I know of a woman whom I shall not name for obvious reasons. And she can't bear children. And they've tried everything. And the bitterness, even though she is now a mother through adoption, the bitterness is still there. And the bitterness touches every conversation. Oh, the world has a lot to answer for. And we soak up worldly perspectives. We allow them to creep into us. And they affect us. They contaminate us. They lead us to feeling inadequate. They can lead us to feeling frustrated. And they can even lead to depression. Which is why we should praise God for Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We should praise the Lord for the words of Paul the Apostle, who writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Oh, such marvellous words. He's writing to a congregation in a church which is full of all sorts of people. People like you and I, a mixed congregation. Clever people and those who are perhaps not so clever. Those who think they're clever and those who really are. rich people and poor people. In all likelihood, there would have been slaves in that congregation, people who were tightly controlled as to what they could do, when they could do it, how they could do it, people who would know, not think, not suspect, not perhaps believe, but they would know they are at the bottom of society. If their master or their mistress says, do this, they would have to do it. We're all familiar, I trust, with the image that the great forerunner of our Lord and Saviour, John the Baptist, painted when he said that when the Messiah comes, I will not be worthy to even take the sandals off his feet. Dirty feet, dirty sandals, dust, grime, filth, all that goes with it. I wouldn't even be fit enough, right enough, elevated enough to take those from his feet. That's the work of a slave, and I'm less than a slave in his sight before him, even though you and I know that the Lord himself said that he was the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. That's the work of a slave. The master and mistress wouldn't come in and take their own shoes off. It would be click of the fingers. It would be do this, bathe them, clean them, dry them. They wouldn't prepare the food. And there's some of them were praising and worshipping God. There are others who could buy and sell them, and some perhaps who could buy and sell their masters. What a group of people this is. What a mixed congregation this is. And Paul gives them all a biblical perspective on that question. Who are you? There's a biblical perspective that we can adopt. Have a look at verse 2. All the saints in Christ Jesus. Who are you? Are you a Christian today? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Part of the same conversation that we were having yesterday, one of the men there said how it is that sometimes he goes to conferences and other Christians will say to him, and who are you? And he introduced himself. And they'll say, oh, are you a pastor? And he'll say, no, I'm not a pastor. Oh, well, are you an elder? No, he'll say, I'm not an elder. Oh. And they'll turn the gaze and engage somebody else in conversation. He said he feels like saying to them when they ask next time, who are you? He feels like saying, I am a child of the living God. I was chosen before the foundation of the earth. I have been changed. I have been transformed. I am a member of a royal priesthood. I am an adopted son of the Most High. He said it's part in jest, and we all laughed. And I said, many would say to you, well, there's a pompous way to start an introduction. But the fact is, my friends, he is true. Oh, to our shame, for those of us who look less upon others, who can't claim pastor, who can't claim elder, who can't claim deacon. Oh, the shame when we look less upon those who can't claim professor, who can't claim consultant, who can't claim deputy or assistant head. The shame when we look at people by their relationships, by their status, by their profile, by their remuneration. The shame upon us, because we who are one in Christ, we who are seen in Christ by the Lord God Almighty, we who stand before him, if we are Christians, washed by that precious blood, cleansed by the life-saving work of the Saviour, we who have been adopted, we who wear that robe of righteousness, my friend, it's the greatest leveller of all. Who are you? Christian. Is that what we think of first? We went away on holiday the other year. We flew back into Liverpool. What a disappointment. Oh, not because it's Liverpool. It's the centre of the known universe. I'm quite sure somebody could sit down and work out that with the rotation of the Earth and the rotation of the solar system, the rotation of the Milky Way and everything else, I'm quite sure they could point to, well, not too far from here. I'm jesting, of course. The disappointment was coming in, you've got immigration and border control and you've got big signs. Non-EU, quite right too. EU, I'm not going to go into the politics of whether it should say UK or EU, that's what it says, non-EU, EU. There's the disappointment. For somebody born and bred in this city, who went to school not too far away from here, where's the one that says Scousers? Where's the one that says Christian? My friends, we have more than common with Christians from Nigeria, from Sri Lanka, from China, from South Africa, from Argentina. We have more in common with them than we do with a colleague that we work alongside if they're non-Christian. More in common with a Christian who is the lowest of the low in their community. And yes, there are still countries today where slavery is practiced and endorsed by their authorities and where it's hidden from UN and other international observers. We have more in common with the slave who has to remove the footwear from the feet of their master and their mistress than we do with our wives and our husbands and our children if they are not Christian. Who are you? The biblical perspective is, I'm Christ's. I'm a Christian. I am in union with him. But secondly, the biblical perspective is not just union with Jesus. Have a look at verse 1 where Paul writes, this man who to many of us is the great apostle. He's the theologian. He's the one who wields the sword of the word of the Lord. See how he describes himself? An apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, I'm Paul. I was the one who was trained under the feet of the greatest of all the Jewish theologians. I am not the disciple of Gamaliel. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. There's a rising thing in the States at the moment where many people are calling themselves apostles. It's starting to creep over here. Somebody once said at a conference that whatever happens in the States today, between 5 and 10 years later, it will hit the shores of the UK. And they likened it to some sort of like strange beast that sits on the eastern seaboard of the States and gathers its strength and momentum to make the big leap across the water and then land on our shores and then spread further afield. That may or may not be true, but it certainly seems to be the case. And these modern day apostles are those who drive around in fancy cars. In fact, sometimes they even have others to drive them around in their fancy cars. They appear on glitzy television channels and they do wear tailor-made suits. Although, quite frankly, an American tailor-made suit looks worse than a suit from Primark. You don't believe me? You look at any American president down the ages. They're not apostles, not like Paul, who worked to support himself and to support the church. Paul saw the title apostle. Yes, it means sent, it means commissioned, but he saw it as somebody who was a servant being sent. It was ministry, it was service. And that's how we should see ourselves. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so many people, you know, they take Colossians chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 and they jump straight to that union with Christ, that biblical perspective, that right perspective, which is a brilliant perspective. And yes, I'm a Christian. And then they come to church and they sit in church and they don't take on board the fact that Paul starts off by saying, I'm a servant. They don't read all those passages that say speaks of the church as being a union of servants, a union of soldiers, a union of toilers. Wouldn't it be great if that were to grasp our minds and our hearts and we were to realise that we are not just Christians, we are servants of the Most High. Blow Paul, not the Apostle, but your Paul. Blow him away on the Tuesday night, the Monday night is it, the first one. Blow him away on the Monday night. How many normally turn up? Doubly. Why are you here? Because I'm nervous. Because I'm apprehensive. Because it's not my cup of tea. Because I haven't got a clue what to do. But if you put me with somebody else who can, and you pray for me, I can do this. Because if he could kneel in the garden, and if he could shed drops of blood for me, and if he could say, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will be done but thine. If he could do that for me, then surely for him, I can do something in the church. I can do something by knocking on doors, by speaking to somebody, by saying, let me hand out books, by let me shake hands, let me make cups of tea, let me do something, something, anything. Let me be a servant of Jesus Christ. Is that the attitude of the elder? What is the attitude? I like Damon's play on words, claiming the gallows. And I know this isn't his attitude. But is that the attitude of some, look at me, I've arrived? Or is it the servant? Not the attitude of those who have a particular role, I've arrived? Or is it the servant? Who are you? There's a biblical perspective of union with Christ, of service for Christ. And that provides us an eternal identity. You know what? There's a verse in Scripture which says that we get a stone with a new name. I'm convinced that you'll recognize me in heaven. It might mean you turn around and walk the other way when you see me, but I'm convinced you'll recognise me in heaven, but I'm not so sure I'll have maybe the same name. Nor you. I know for a fact I will no longer be a pastor, a reverend. I won't be a father because my heavenly father only has children. He doesn't have grandchildren. And my earthly children will be my brothers and sisters in Christ. And pay? It all changes, it all goes, it's all gone, it's all different, it's all brand new, a new creation. It's so different, even John, with that inspiration, is unable to convey convincingly and accurately in words that which it will be. We've debated and discussed for decades and generations. But I do know this, and you know this, that if you can stand up and say, I'm a child of the living God, you will always be a child of the living God. And you know that if you can stand up and say, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will always be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it might be this morning that there's somebody here who can't view things from the biblical perspective. Because they haven't just soaked up the worldly perspective of who you are, but they are still lost in the world. The best they can hope for is in this life. Let me remind you again of the church of Colossae. Slaves transformed from the lowest of the low to sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Princes of the universe. Leveling across the board that all might kneel at the cross, kneel at the feet, kneel at the presence of the Lamb, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. but in so kneeling, elevated and raised to a position that none could aspire in this life. Who are you? If you can't say Christian, then your life is ruled by your remuneration, your relationships, and your role. Would you know an eternal identity? Then turn to him who turned to Paul. Turn to him who saved so many at Colossae. Turn to him who saved so many in this room. Turn to him and be honest and say you don't really know and understand all it needs to know and be understood. But turn to him and confess that you've looked at life from the wrong perspective. From the perspective of shifting sands, changing titles, from positions that can lead to inadequacy, frustration, and depression. And find grace, hope, life, renewal in him. Who are you? You know, and God knows. May it be that you would be honored by him as you walk with him, and that you would not seek honor from others in just this life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are who we are by your will and through your providential overruling and enabling. Father, whichever role or relationship we find ourselves in this day, help us one and all to give you thanks. May that be especially true of those of us who are Christians this day. Help us to strive to be the best we can be for thy name, not looking at the paycheck, not considering our particular relationship with others or that which we crave, and definitely not looking at our role in life or society. Father, we thank thee for Paul, an apostle, who wrote to Christians. We thank you, Father, that we too can be servants, we who are Christians. Help us to know who we are, both now and evermore. Amen.